I think that this probably stems from the Christmas play, but Gray was talking about angels the other day and what she would do if she saw an angel. And I think she's been thinking about, you know, how Mary, you know, had this interaction
with
angel.
Getting ready.
She's getting ready. She's getting ready.
Her angelic
encounter.
I have
some concerns as her mother. But she said, if I saw an angel, I think I'd probably just play dead. I thought, you know what? Like, why didn't anybody else do that?
I don't know if angels have the same rules as bears.
If it's brown, lay down.
Right, like.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, we saw your W-2. So.
Oh, that's rude.
That was mean-spirited.
It really was.
I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you. Just providing for my family. For some context, my
W-2. Which, do you need some financial assistance?
For the pastor's discretionary fund. Yeah.
If you're the sole breadwinner for your family right now.
Give us the context. Right.
Yeah, so the context is that my husband came into podcast recording today and just happened to be doing our taxes and just happened to whip out my W-2 for like the 2 weeks in December that I worked from last year. And, you know,
so needless to say, 2 weeks of income was not enough to cover.
At a pretty part-time at that
point. Yeah.
It's
a very cute income.
It was.
I think we can say that. It's charming.
It was adorable.
Yeah. Sweet little income.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about some emotions today.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah. Are you ready to be emotional?
Always.
I don't think that's true.
at the drop
no,
of a hat.
No, he cried during Frozen in the theater, so.
I did. It was beautiful.
He's ready.
During Frozen?
Yeah. Frozen 2.
Oh, I
didn't you start in on like the previews? I think I remember the story that your family left to go get popcorn and drinks, and there was a preview that just really got to you.
It was. I don't remember what it was, but that was true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. It's like, as I've gotten older, it's a weird thing that like certain things, like especially when the music is just right,
I know.
Just hits you, and you're just like,
I should preface
God.
That I cry over everything.
So I'll cry at the drop of the hat. Yeah. So like that's no judgment. Yeah. But Frozen 2.
Okay, I don't Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Yeah, it was sad. It was really sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying.
I did cry in Encanto. So.
You cried in Encanto?
Yeah. It was really sweet.
I cried this morning over a story about cockroaches coming out of a loofah. So.
Sure.
That's not the tears that I'm shedding. Yeah. Unless it's
that was like tears of horror.
Unless it's like a powerful, like, look at them overcome.
So resilient, those cockroaches.
Yeah.
All right. But we're going to get emotional here on the podcast.
All right.
First,
get your tissues.
First, some news.
All right.
Is this emotional news?
Maybe for the woman involved. Let me ask you, have you ever been on a blind date?
Nope.
Yes, actually.
Oh, really?
Let's hear it.
Okay. Hopefully this is long enough
Number
ago.
Number one,
that...
was it Michael?
No. No, but we met eating squirrel.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like,
that's how you do it in
Might
South Carolina.
Well, a blind date. Yeah.
Tale as old as time. All right, let's hear this blind date.
Yeah, so my friends from high school, I think it was a senior in high school, or it was the summer between, set me up on a blind date with this aspiring politician.
Okay. Did he make
already.
It?
I don't know.
Let's guess politicians. And is it Joe Biden?
He's an older man.
Right, yeah.
No, he showed up in like a powder blue suit.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And for a movie, he wanted to see Tropic Thunder. Which, you know.
It was popular at the time.
Sure.
Hopefully.
Oh, I liked it. It was funny.
Yeah, it had just come out. I mean, we went to the theater.
Okay, so it was a new movie at the time. Yeah.
He went for the handhold first date. It was sweaty.
And the powder blue suit.
Yeah. And
a suit to the movie? You got popcorn. It's going to get dirty. No.
Yeah, it's. Yeah. And then he wanted to go to Frankie's Fun Park, which is like, I don't know if you guys have it in Texas.
No,
I don't
believe
it.
But it's like a go-karts and arcade and kind of thing.
Sure.
But I like really was done. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I have to watch Michael Phelps swim in the Olympics with my mom tonight.
Look.
And that was the
Was Michael
bounce.
Phelps swimming
he
in the
was,
Olympics?
Okay. Yeah. All right. I mean, if it had been a good date, I would have been like, let's go to Frankie Swimberg.
We could DVR that.
Right. I'll catch the reruns. But
All right. There you go. All right.
Anyway, it's this poor woman in this story.
She's got your beat. Okay. I'm going to say that right now. Cool. Chinese woman stuck in blind date's house by sudden COVID lockdown.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
That stinks.
Yeah, so this is a 30-year-old woman who went on a blind date for a home-cooked meal On January 6th.
That's also bold.
Like, it is, yeah.
Home-cooked meal, blind date. So
it's a family set her up with 10 different matches because she's now 30, and so she's getting on.
Yeah.
You know, by the Chinese standards, I'm sure. But yes.
Yeah, you're treading on thin ice.
Like so, old maid status.
So date 5 out of 10 wanted to show off his cooking skills and invited him over to house to eat when all of a sudden... She's meant to leave, and the Chinese government locked down the neighborhood. It's how they're keeping COVID in check.
Sure.
Oh, boy.
So she's trapped in his house.
All right. I just want to say, if this had happened in New England, it would be a Hallmark movie.
All right.
Like forced proximity in a small town.
We could make this into a Hallmark movie.
We could. Yeah. Or a horror movie.
Yeah.
Sure.
Really could go either way.
Yeah.
She was stuck in her house for days.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Posting videos on TikTok.
She said, I'm going to monetize this trauma.
Of her. On Weibo. I don't know how to say it. China's Twitter platform. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So during quarantine, I felt that apart from him being reticent like a wooden mannequin, everything else about him is pretty good, though.
Reticent like a wooden mannequin.
Yeah. That's.
Girl, don't let that dude mermaid on you.
He cooks.
There's a problem there already.
He cooks, cleans the house, and works. Although his cooking isn't very good, he's still willing to spend time in the kitchen, and I think that's great.
So his cooking isn't good, but he invited his blind date over to show off his cooking. Yeah.
If you're bold enough to say blind date number one, come try my cooking.
You gotta be
throwing aces. You can't be coming in there with a pair of eights.
Out of the way. Like, this is my weak point. Yeah. Let's just see if you're interested enough.
some people who are bad at things don't know they're bad at things. Okay,
that's very true. Yeah.
Good point.
But
speaking of which, Patrick, we've been meaning to talk to you.
A little bit of yikes for him that he's getting roasted here as she's staying in his house and she's like on Twitter. Hey, guess what? This loser I'm staying with is like a mannequin and he can't even cook.
What did he say about this experience? I mean, he's also now stuck with a blind date for days.
Yeah.
Someone else in his own house.
I did not have the information from this article. So.
I see how it is.
Okay.
Oh, man.
All right. So in the post, she also said, right now I'm at this man's house. He's an inarticulate, honest person and he doesn't talk much. But she removed her original video because it got back to him.
Because
he's like across the room.
Right. Somebody probably was like, bro, is this you?
Yes. In the videos, her date is seen stir frying meals such as a tomato and scrambled egg dish.
Okay. Yeah.
What? I'm not sure. We're like, okay, that's weird.
It's like an omelet situation. Yeah.
I'm not into that. That's
okay.
Gross.
You don't like lots
for
of
your blind
things,
dates. So. Don't make them that.
I will not. Yeah. Yeah, so there you go. What do you think? Would you be interested in this? You know, you're forced. Like, hey, is this relationship going to work? We know right away.
Yeah, I mean, that's a real test run.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is the next reality show, right? It's like, we're just going to call it like lockdown dating. Right. And they're just going to like put you in a house for a week and see if you can survive each other. And if you come out the other end, you get married. I think that'd be...
Let's pitch it.
Coming to Fox this fall.
Ken and I did watch, I guess about a year or 2 years ago, a thing on Netflix called Love is Blind, where people went and on dates without ever seeing the other person. And like basically at the end, they were like, who wants to propose?
Yeah.
Did anybody like...
Yes!
Oh my gosh.
Well, the idea, I mean, you fall in love with someone for something other than their physical appearance.
But then what happens when that blindfold comes off?
I'm just saying, that's the theory. Yeah.
It was all awkward and weird, and I don't think any of the relationships lasted. But
you know,
it's almost hard to believe.
Yeah. And it also was like a week long.
Have we done a survey of like previous Bachelor episodes?
Almost none of them work. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like a reality show like Survivor has led to more marriages than The Bachelor.
Right.
Sure, because you have a shared goal and a journey of trial and triumph.
Well, I mean, in The Bachelor, you have a shared goal too, but like it's all like make-believe and fake.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know.
The shared goal is destroying other people's lives.
Yeah, is to pretend like you're a princess for a month and get...
I am a princess. There's no pretending. Yeah.
You're gonna sign up for The Bachelorette.
Thanks everyone for your attention. She writes, "I hope the pandemic will end soon so that single girls can find a relationship soon."
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
that's
she's like, "I'm ready to get out."
Yes. Yeah.
Poor thing.
So listeners,
it's impressive that they could just. I mean, I get that it's the Chinese government. It's different than the United States, but just like, you know, within the space of hours, you're locked down. You can't leave any building. You can't walk across town. You're done.
So
That's intense.
Yeah, and you know. We're still arguing about like mask mandates and stuff. Yeah. It feels kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, hey, the guys were like, hey, this date just got a lot longer. That's, right. Yeah, not too bad. Who knows? Yeah. I can show off a couple more dishes.
I got one, Mom.
Yeah, you
his
think
Twitter,
he,
his Twitter is all just, Mom, I'm finally on a long date. Yeah.
She moved in.
Right. It's going really well. I think she likes that I'm the strong silent type.
Right. Oh, boy.
Yeah, listeners, let us know any blind dates that you've
Yes, I want those Beyond stories
Beyond Sunday Podcast at gmail.com. Send in those blind date stories, especially if they turned out good, because I don't think we ever hear the good blind date stories.
Yeah.
They got to be out there, right?
I mean, theoretically. Sure.
I mean, people keep trying blind dates. There's got to be enough. There has to be a high
one
enough success
had to have worked
rate
somewhere.
This never worked for anybody, but for you, right. It just might.
Right. He just seemed like the kind of person who would do well in a blind date scenario.
The less the person knows about you before the date, the better. Right. Consider that to your advantage.
Right.
All right. This is from Relevant. Mm-hmm. Back to Relevant. You know. We've always used that pretty often. God gave us emotions for a reason by Nancy Ma.
To appreciate Disney movies.
Yes, to cry yes. at Frozen 2.
Sure. Yeah. Or whatever movies might move your heart.
Sure.
Or previews, as it were.
As it were.
Well, yeah, most movies in reality for me. So we often advise each other to change or replace an emotion with a quote-unquote better one. Be content, be secure, be happy. Under these seemingly biblical suggestions, an unhealthy belief that there are good and bad emotions. All right, what do we think right away?
Ick.
About what?
About this idea that there are good and bad emotions.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
I think we're, yeah. Are we aligned?
I think so.
We're aligned, yeah.
Yeah, we are aligned. But yeah, I think that is this something you think is prevalent in Christendom in America?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's icky.
It's like you're not grateful enough. If you're sad, you're not grateful enough.
I think this is where, I don't know if you guys have come across this newer idea of like toxic positivity.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a piece of that, that like, oh, well, you know, you just have to be happy. You just have to be positive
no
all
bad
the
days.
Time. Right. No bad days. God's always, God's never going to give you more than you can handle. God's always going to get you through it. If God led you to it, God will get you through it. Right.
All Jeremiah 29:11.
Which one's that?
I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I always think that one's earlier in Jeremiah than it is, so it doesn't matter. Anyway.
Stump the pastor.
Doesn't matter.
Just patting myself on the back over here. Means,
yeah, pat away. It's all over the place. And like, we just stick it on the wall, right? And we're just like, oh, there it is. That's how I start every day, is by remembering those things. And it denies the fact that God created all of us, including those parts of our emotions that cause us to feel things that are painful.
Yeah, I think that this is definitely there, especially... Not even the toxic positivity, but is the all these other emotions that I'm feeling are bad.
Yeah.
You know, like that's also, we have to address both ends of that spectrum.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, you're angry, you're lonely, you're bitter, bad.
Right.
Those are bad feelings. And what you need to do is get rid of those feelings.
Yep.
Right, because there's something wrong with you for feeling those things.
Yeah.
Is the idea, right?
Yeah. Not faithful enough, not trusting enough, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure, you know, this will probably come up at some point again, but we're going to reference some Inside Out, which is a Disney movie about emotions.
All right.
That I also cried in. So.
Sure. I can get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would cry at Inside Out if I watched it again.
But what's interesting about that movie, the young girl has five emotions inside of her, and only one would we quote unquote call positive. Joy.
Yeah, sure.
The others are more the bad emotions.
Right.
Anger, fear, disgust, and sadness. Yeah.
Are we going to get to the spoiler?
The spoiler is sadness is the hero.
Yeah, sadness and joy learn to work together.
Yeah.
And as the child grows up, she needs these mix of emotions, and that's where the real growth comes for the child, is that she has these memories that now are sadness and joy, not one or the other, and we need all of it.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's a...
my bad.
Thank you for
it's
that.
A phenomenal movie. It's one of Pixar's best.
Yeah. I need to watch it.
It's a good one.
It's like super high concept. I don't even know if kids get into it, because it's like so weird. Like, it's amazing.
It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, so according to Nancy, and according to us, we need to stop doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The truth is all feelings are helpful, and yes, I'm including anger, bitterness, sadness, and loneliness. We need to stop judging our feelings. Okay. So I think what we sometimes do when we kind of say like, you need to focus on the positive mm-hmm. or that toxic positivity or change your feelings, we expect this that we're able to like, oh, I'm really angry or sad or lonely. If I was just choose joy or choose mm-hmm. happiness, or you know, maybe not joy, because I think that is different than a
yeah.
feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I just choose happiness, then everything would be better. But sometimes we have to be like, if I'm able to do that, why wouldn't I do that?
Right.
Like, yeah. like, it's not like if people want to be happy, it's not like, sure. I mean, some people don't, I guess, but like.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm really grateful for the conversations that we have started to have in the church context about how harmful this sort of thinking is for people, say like with depression, for example, sure. and we've started to have that conversation, but it's also really harmful for people that don't have depression. Like base case, I think it's just harmful for you and your emotional self because it stunts you emotionally, right? Yeah. When you don't have access to those emotions or you're stuffing them down or whatever, then you don't get to experience that full range and work through them and find the good in those emotions, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. You know, Brene Brown, who's kind of become a big, I don't want to say pop psychology, but a very mm-hmm. popular psychological figure, right?
Yeah.
When in one of her earliest TED Talk videos, she talked about how when we cut ourselves off from experiences of sadness or disappointment or grief, we're actually cutting off the potential for us to experience the high joy and mm-hmm. or high happy and excitement and all of that, right? And so you can't have one without the other. You have to know the depths of sadness in order to experience the highs of joy. You have to have both, and you learn from both, right?
Yeah.
There's not an experience that isn't an opportunity for our growth. Now, that doesn't mean that all emotions are healthy all the time.
Sure.
Right.
I mean, there are times when anger is unhealthy. There are times right. when happiness is unhealthy. And it's,
yeah.
it's sifting through all of that to
yeah.
say,
yeah.
where am I growing to continue to follow Jesus through this process? How is my experience of grief in this moment helping me to follow Jesus? Not, I need to be happy to follow Jesus. How do I follow Jesus in my grief? How do I follow Jesus in my disappointment, anger, whatever?
Are you familiar with the Enneagram at all?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the Enneagram, I guess, for listeners that may not be familiar, is sort of like a personality profile type thing where there's, you know, 7 or 9 types.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like just different classes of personality traits, that kind of thing.
It's much more elaborate than like a standard Myers-Briggs or something like that.
Yeah. But so I happen to be an Enneagram 7, which is kind of...
We're Enneagram twins.
Are we really?
I think so. 5. It's been a while since I did it. Yeah. I think I was a 7. Either
like
7
a
or
4
6.
Or 5.
I'm a 4.
Yeah.
4.
Yeah. But one of the traits that goes along with Enneagram 7 is we tend to be like toxically happy, right? Like chronically toxically happy because we stuff down negative emotions, right? And so that's one of the sort of lessons like that the Enneagram tries to kind of hit on, I think, is that negative emotions, negative in quotes, are temporary and that it's important to move through those and experience those to give more well-rounded like happiness and real happiness.
Yeah, because if I'm remembering correctly, it's been a while since I've studied it, but Enneagram refers to like what you would call your shadow side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're leaning into your unhealthiest habits,
right.
you lean into these things, and
yep.
this is your unhealthy side. But that doesn't mean that you avoid that at all times.
Right.
There are things that are there to use. You just have to know that's when I'm not being my healthiest for myself. And those same habits are really healthy for someone else,
right?
And so you have to balance how that all works and how it works in relationships, mm-hmm. because all of those are part of the thing. You know, when I when I was doing ministry at Ohio State's college ministry, I was working under a pastor named Jay Gamlin, and he used to be a big fan of saying every step is the way, right? That was a phrase that he would throw out to college students especially,
that's
right?
So cool.
Yeah, it was a nice one. But so it's like
The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
This is the way.
It was just long before The Mandalorian,
every
but
step
sure.
Is yeah. the way.
Every step is the way. Right?
The Mandalorian takes place a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah.
So.
So he's got Dr. J, whatever.
Fine. But so every step is the way would say, you know, okay, if you're going through grief, that's mm-hmm. fine. It's part of your journey of following Jesus, right? If you're going through sadness, loneliness, right? All these experiences that college students have all the time, that all of us have, but college students in particular are going through. That doesn't mean you're a bad Christian, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to come to church and pretend like everything's perfect and fine and, oh, I love Jesus so much. You can come and be ticked off at God and say, this, this horrible thing is happening that I just learned about and I've just had my eyes open to the suffering of whatever and I'm super angry at God. Fine, bring that to church, right? Bring that to the space would be what he would say, because that's part of your journey. Every step is part of the way. And I think that helps us highlight there is no good or bad emotion.
Mm-hmm.
There's emotion. And that emotion is part of us being created in God's image, because yeah. God has these emotions. We see God have these emotions throughout scripture. We see God have sadness and anger and, you know, frustration and all of that.
Yeah.
So why do you think we have such a block as a Christian community against emotions like anger in particular?
Why do I think we say like, oh, anger's out?
Yeah.
I think, you know, anger's an interesting one because anger can be so destructive. And so I think that at its root, it might be an effort of, well, we don't know how to control it, so we're just going to say it's always bad.
So bad, yeah.
Right. Kind of like prohibition with alcohol, right? It's kind of like, sometimes it's bad, so let's get rid of it always.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Which is not to say that either of those are the same, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get the correlation.
So I think that's where it is for anger. I think on a larger scale, like, why do we cut these off? I think that it's uncomfortable for us to say we can learn about God in our sadness and in our grief and in our frustration. And our, like, it's uncomfortable for us to say that we can learn about God in those places because we want to assume that God wants us to be quote unquote happy.
Right.
Except that scripture never tells us God wants us to be happy.
Right.
Right. You know, scripture talks about us being blessed. Mm-hmm. Scripture talks about God providing us with joy. Scripture talks about God providing us with a life of abundance. Mm-hmm. But I cannot tell you a place where God says, you're going to be happy.
Right.
Right. That's not the goal. The goal is to follow God into a more godly life, which is reflected with, you know, everything that comes around it. It is not to remove pain and suffering and heartbreak from the world. That's part of the world. And until God's kingdom comes, that's always going to be part of the world.
Yeah. I think what's tough about this is, as we talk about, like, all these emotions can be helpful, beneficial, and experience that, that doesn't mean that every emotion needs to dictate how we see the world or be fed internally.
Yeah.
Like, it's not okay, like, the person who's always, like, yelling at people to say, like, well, I'm just an angry person.
No.
This is how I feel in the world.
Right.
And the Christian community around them should be like, well, hey, emotions, what am I going to do?
Right.
Or, like, I'm just a bitter person. What, you know?
Right.
Like,
well, it's the same for being a happy person too. Like, if you're just a happy person, but you never able to interact with something on a serious level,
you can get away with being just a happy person,
right? Because it's easier, it's more palatable, I think, than being like a
In some circles, you can get away with being an angry person too.
Sure.
So, and even some circles of Christendom, you can get away with being an angry person as long as you're angry at the right things.
That's as long as you're angry at the pulpit.
From, like, the pulpit.
From the pulpit.
Oh, I'm supposed to be angry from the pulpit?
You're not supposed to be. I'm just saying, in some circles, it's...
I'm angry at the pulpit when you're up there.
Yeah. That's what I thought you were saying. Wait a second.
So mad.
Hold on.
Yeah. But I think what we have to say this, and I think what Nancy Ma here is going to get us to, and which I think we'll jump back into relevant here, is these emotions are telling us something about how we're experiencing the world, and it's not just enough to, like, experience them and feel them, but, like, we have to sometimes get to, like, but why? Why am I experiencing these things right now? What is that telling me about what I want, who I am, how I see the world, and how do I see God in these moments?
Yeah.
And I think that that matters. So first, we do need to let ourselves feel. You know, sometimes, you know, I'm a guy. Oh, surprise.
What?
This just in.
And so growing up, I was always a fairly emotional kid, even as a teenager. Movies would make me cry. I would get, like, you know, I'd cry at the end of camp and mission trips and things like that. And most of the other dudes wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a very, you know, quote unquote, feminine thing to do. And so there was a large portion of my life where I was kind of embarrassed about those things. And there was a desire I could take those emotions and I wish I could just crush them deep down inside and then I'll die one day. You know, kind of a thing. Like, and I think sometimes we handle those things as emotions.
Yeah.
We've seen, you know, this stereotypical dad who has all these emotions and we just want to crush them deep down inside and then ignore them until I die, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But we have those things. And so sometimes you have to say, like, if we're an emotional person, it means we're a weak person.
Yeah.
And that's not true. That we can be emotional and be a very strong person within those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Because those emotions are not bad or good. They're things that are just how we experience whatever's going on in our world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that's coming to mind here, I've been working with a spiritual director, which, if y'all aren't familiar, is kind of like, it's kind of like counseling, but not, because it's like, It's like it helps you think through the spiritual reality of your world, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm helping you think about what is God up to in your life and in your world. And one of the ways that my particular spiritual director starts every one of our sessions is by saying, we're gonna take a pause and we're gonna let your soul catch up, and we're just gonna let you notice what happens, right? So the idea is, like, you know, as we're running through the world, we're always like running ahead of our soul, because our soul is always slower than what we're trying to do, because we're, you know, I in particular am in my mind all the time, right? And so we let the soul catch up, and then we just notice, and we notice, well, am I angry? Am I, you know, am I sad? Am I happy? Am I content? Am I worried? Like, what do I just notice? And what she has been really working with me on is like not letting that thing define or become the thing that is the focus, but just noticing, what do I learn about myself from this experience, right? So when we're talking about like, oh, well, I had this encounter and it made me feel this way. She's like, okay, you felt this. What do you notice about yourself because you felt that way in that moment? What is that telling you about how God is working in your life in that place? Like, if I'm, you know, if I'm angry about this conversation, well, why am I angry? Am I angry because they're hurting me? Am I angry because they're hurting someone else? I mean, you know, am I learning that I'm defending something? Like, what
am
is
I
it
reacting to something totally unrelated?
Right. Yeah. Am I angry at them because of something that happened 10 years ago? Right.
That's interesting.
And so it's all a practice of noticing what God is able to teach you through your emotions.
Yeah.
None of those are good or bad, right? I can have good or bad reactions, right? If my anger results in me yelling at someone or you know, hitting someone, or if my sadness results in me not doing my job, those are bad reactions. But the emotions themselves are opportunities for me to notice what God is doing and what we can learn from them.
Yeah. Yeah, so back to Inside Out. My favorite scene in Inside Out, so how the story goes, basically there's five emotions in this young girl, and she's just moved across the country to San Francisco. And in that process, her primary emotion, the one who's kind of dictated her life so much, is joy. Mm-hmm. Joy and sadness get lost into her internal, you know, brain mechanisms or whatever. And that leaves...
Like you do.
Right.
That leaves anger, disgust, and fear left kind of in her brain.
In charge.
In charge of how she perceives the world.
Right.
And...
Disgust. That's an interesting one to land on. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. But anyway, she's having a conversation with her parents about her first day of school, and they're asking her questions. And these three emotions, anger, disgust, and fear, are thinking like, what do we do? We don't know how to respond to any of these questions. And they come up with, we will pretend that we're joy. Mm-hmm. What would joy do in this situation? Let's do that. And so they start trying to be joyful, but masking their own emotions. So trying to be joyful, but with a mask of anger underneath it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work, because this young girl cannot pretend to be joyful when these emotions are driving it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a brilliant piece of how often do we get to these places where we have these strong emotions and we're either trying to pretend they don't exist or pretend we're happy on top of them, and it just doesn't work, right? Like, we've all convinced ourselves that we could be angry, bitter, lonely people, and yet to our closest loved ones, friends, and even strangers, we can put on a slap a face of joy on top of that, and they'll never know.
Right. Yeah.
And guess what? They always know, right? Like, it's always like, especially those who are closest with, it is always somewhat there.
Right.
That like, you're not acting genuine in this moment, because that's not how this works. And that doesn't mean if we're angry and somebody's like, how are you feeling today? We don't just get to say, like, shut up, you. Like,
like, how dare you talk to me?
But it means like trying to pretend these emotions are not there is never going to get us to a place where we can, one, heal from what's going on inside, or two, knowing how to truly manage and live with them.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to be bitter their whole life, but unless that bitterness is dealt with, it's always going to be there.
Right.
Even if we pretend it's not.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that falls on both parties, right? You know, I don't know if you all took like intro to psych in college or anything, but we had this like, you know, mini social experiment that we're supposed to do, where for a day you'd go around, anytime somebody asks you how you are, you give them like an actual honest answer, as opposed to saying, oh, I'm good, right?
Yeah.
And just moving on. You give them like, oh man, I'm really struggling to, and like people don't
know.
They don't want
to
hear
how
that,
to do
right?
It. They're like, oh, okay,
yeah,
well.
Like, and especially like, you know, you pass people in class in your freshman year of college, and they're like, oh, hey, and how's it going? And you know, you give them like the, well, I'm really missing my dad today. Like, you know, they don't want to hear that. Right. They don't want to know what's going on.
Yeah, nobody does.
Right. Like,
cool.
We got our own stuff.
So not only do we have to be more willing to, you know, show the honest response, but we have to be more willing to hear the honest response. Sure. And to hold safe spaces where we can do that. And if any place should be safe for that, it should be the church, right? Which should be a place where when you come into this building and someone asks you how you are doing, both they and you understand that is a genuine question, and we want to have a genuine maskless response.
You might still want to wear a mask if it's COVID.
Right, COVID times. Right,
depending. Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Okay.
So ready to be done with that, right?
with Patrick's joke, yes.
No, with the whole like
concept. That too. That too. Yeah. All of the above.
Right.
Okay.
No more jokes on Patrick. No more masks.
Yeah. All, no all more.
Wow.
Yes. Patrick.
Well, I'm feeling fine. Okay. So part of this, her next point is here: evaluate the reasons that you feel this way. And I think this is important. Emotions are indicators of deeper belief. What triggers this feeling? What part of your worldview was like struck or wounded that brought up this emotion, and getting to the bottom of that. And I think that really matters for these things. Like, because sometimes like you've seen, either you've seen it firsthand, or, you know, we certainly know tales of like the mom or dad at a kid's like soccer or baseball game, that they're young kids, who cares? Nobody's going to be playing professional. And they're just like so angry about what's going on. And I think we need to like say like, what's actually going on inside? Because what's happening here is not worth this.
Yeah, it's not proportional to the emotional response.
Yeah, so what is in your world that's making you so angry that this is where it's coming out on like this teenage referee who's like getting paid $10 an hour who to be there. Like, they don't have it out for your kid. Right. They don't even know your kid. Like, or even like on a professional thing, what makes you so mad when like your team is losing?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on in your world that is actually should be making you angry, but you don't know how to deal with that. And so here it is. Yeah. Let's get mad at the TV.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, one of our staff members who now lives in North Dakota, Marna, who works with our communication stuff, and she used to say all the time, it's not about the coffee mug, right?
Yeah.
To this point, like, when somebody comes in and they're angry about the coffee mug, because for whatever reason, in churches, people are always angry about the coffee mugs, it's never actually about that, right? There's always that underlying factor. And I think, you know, when you're at a soccer game and that you see that, when you're out in the world and you see these explosions of anger or of grief, whatever, it's not about the coffee mug. Like, what's going on behind that? And it's okay to wonder that, and it's okay to try to encourage them to explore that too.
Yeah.
But, you know, be ready for that to be an uncomfortable conversation.
Sure. And if you're that parent, so let me tell you, no kid playing T-ball has ever thought, I'm so glad my parent's yelling at the ref right now. Like, no kid has ever been like, oh, thank goodness this is happening. I love it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because that's not how they want to see the world. Yeah, so I think that's part of it, evaluating what's going on underneath. So like, you know, anger is a good one. You know, what could be going underneath when you think about the emotion of like bitterness?
Yeah.
You know, like thinking about like, why am I bitter right now?
Yeah.
What
unrealized expectations?
Yeah.
Usually,
what?
Right?
Yeah. What unrealized expectations? What crushed dream is going on that's causing me to have this lens where everything is seen through bitterness?
Right.
Even positive, good things that are happening, I cannot see because of whatever's happening in my job, my relationships, my whatever blank is not fully realized.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, and lastly, we have to address the beliefs behind the feelings. So that means once we understand kind of what's going on underneath the feelings, we have to start dealing with them. And not just kind of let them, well, go to pass. Like I said earlier, like, it's not enough just to be like, well, I'm just an angry person.
Right. Yeah.
This is the real work.
Yeah.
Like, this is the hard part.
Yeah. It's also not enough just to say, I feel angry, and then shoulder through it, right?
Yeah.
It's, you have to also evaluate why. Why is this happening? Or I guess you don't have to, but I would say it's not the most healthy course.
Or to be productive.
Otherwise, you're just going to have probably recurring whatever that is. If it's anger, if it's bitterness, if it's sadness, you know, whatever that emotion is, just be recurring with no productive outcome.
Yeah. If it's like, what really is fueling my bitterness is need of approval, and I'm not getting that in my world, and so I'm angry and mad, and this is like, I'm bitter towards those that should be showing me some approval or acknowledgement, and they're not. And so that's saying like the real bitterness is not the issue. What I really need to check is, why do I have this need for approval? And how can I express that to the people around me in a healthy, positive way?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, and I think that this is part of what happens there. So really don't be so quick to judge, bottle up, squelch our own emotions, but to feel them, but also feel what's going on underneath those emotions.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. And sometimes that means for the church, we have to give space.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, also, like I say a lot, if you want something to change, you have to change something. And so if just like feeling that emotion and trying to just like get through it, that's not going to, in and of itself, that doesn't change anything, right? You have to evaluate the reason behind that. And then if you want to not be in that space, you have to be willing to then put in the work to change that, you know, and find a better outcome.
Yeah.
I think that's really uncomfortable for people, especially, you know, we talk about a lot in, you know, the modern world, everybody's stressed out, but I mean, there's truth to that, right? Like, especially when there's 5 million things going on and there's COVID and all this stuff, you don't, the prospect of having to do like hard work on yourself is really daunting, right? Yeah. It's easier just to like ride out that wave of sadness, you know?
Sure. And sometimes that hard work means that you need to be talking to other people, right? Yeah. Maybe that's someone in your family. Maybe that's a professional, right? Maybe, you know, counseling is appropriate. Maybe spiritual direction is appropriate. Maybe just a conversation with a pastor or something like that is appropriate. You're not expected to do this stuff on your own, right? We're expected to do this thing in community. And so we need to be building those relationships for ourselves as well.
Yeah, and I think if we do reach that place where we just power through, like you mentioned, Elise, like we can get to a point where now bitterness is not just like the feeling I have. There is like, I'm drawn to it. I'm finding a way to be bitter every day.
It becomes addictive.
I'm finding something to be angry about every day.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that guy just cut me off. Boom, let's dial this up to 10. Oh, let's go on Facebook and read the comments on some article just to feed this like kind of emotional addiction that I do have going on inside me, because I've never dealt with what's underneath. And this is like, I want to feel something. Right. So like this gets me there. So
I know I'm speaking way beyond my knowledge base, but I'm wondering if there is actually a chemical dependency that develops here. Because I mean, when you have those really strong emotions, your body is releasing chemicals, right? Sure. Endorphins or other, you know, dopamine, whatever. And so I wonder if there starts to become an actual dependency on that you want to feel that rage just to get that hit of dopamine or whatever that might be. Sorry, I'm way out of my knowledge base, but I wonder if there's something happening there. And I wonder what it would take to replace that with something else.
Sure.
Yeah. Right?
What would the work be involved in doing that?
I can only speak from my personal experience, but I can say, there is very real attraction to depression attraction to anger and attraction to bitterness. Like there's very real things that are like, that feels, in a sick and twisted way, it feels good to feel bad.
Right.
Like, because at least I'm feeling something. You know, like, so, you know, so when we're at that point, definitely seek help.
Right, yeah. It's almost like, too, that's something external to focus on, right? Like like bitterness and rage or whatever is like, well, I can focus on that and not focus on like this pit, you know, or whatever.
Sure. And if everybody else fixes their issues, my life would finally be okay.
Yeah.
You know, if those jerks on the freeway would just stop cutting me off. Guess what?
Yeah.
You live in Houston? Not going to happen.
Yeah.
People gotta cut you off.
10 million jerks in the city. So.
And every day, another jerk is getting their license. Some 16-year-old jerk is out there.
Generation of jerks coming up behind us.
Ready to cut people off. Yeah. This is how Houston works. Okay. It's just everyone who gets in their car, they turn into a jerk.
Yeah.
Except for me.
Oh, goodness.
I'm waving everybody in. Okay.
Just wait.
Yeah. Are you a waiver?
Yeah, you bet.
You wait. Everybody comes in. You come in. You come
on in.
You just like get up to a construction zone and you just like stop and let everybody else get like, I'm good. Everybody else, you go ahead. I don't need to go.
I'll just pause this wreck right here real quick.
But through kindness.
Right. I do it with love.
It's a wreck of kindness. Yeah. All right. Well, is that wrapping us up for today?
I think so.
All right. Yeah. If you wanted to hear more about emotions and how God thinks they're valuable, you should read the Bible. There's lots of good stuff in there.
Okay.
You will definitely encounter an emotional God.
Yeah.
From the moment go, God is definitely not some robotic presence in the sky who's like, plug in the numbers and we'll see what pops out. A very real, living, emotional God.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about Psalms and Proverbs and Lamentations and things like that before. But yeah, go check some of those out for real emotions. There's good stuff in there. Psalms especially. They'll give you the highest of highs and the lowest of lows in the Psalms if you read all of them.
Yeah.
If you read just one, then you might only get one side or the other. Just a warning. Right. Anyway, if you liked what you heard today, be sure to share this out with other people who might need an opportunity to deal with their emotions and send them our way. Sure. We'll be their talk therapy. Not licensed, just to be clear. You can send us an email at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com with all of your worst and best blind date stories.
Yes, please. And you can, dying for those.
Check out our website at beyondsundaypodcast.com.
Yeah. Yeah, let us know the emotions you felt.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
If you've been trapped in a house with a blind date.
Yeah, we want to know.
Right.
Yeah.
Besides, the only emotion I would deal with is terror. Right. So, like,
yeah. Do you think at any point she wondered, like, is this real?
Right.
Is
he Did he make this up?
Is he just telling me there's a lockdown?
He's like, hey, bad news. Right. I just saw a text. Lockdown.
Lockdown. Yeah. I don't know what's
going on. Crazy. I'm making tomatoes and eggs now. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.